This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. For the rest of this hour, we want to talk about what happened last week at a lakefront rally in Cleveland. Standing in a light rain under a banner declaring a new team for a new America, presidential candidate John Kerry finally defined the race to the White House in terms we can all understand.
We've got better vision. We've got better ideas. We've got real plans. We've got a better sense of what's happening to America, and we've got better hair. I'll tell you, that goes a long way.
Now, you may have thought Senator Kerry was joking about hair, but we're taking hair seriously. What do you think? Do you have to be hirsute to win? Can a bald guy ever get to first base? Give us a call. 800-989-TALK. Joining us now is someone who personally feels this is an important issue. Peter Sagal is the host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He joins us now from NPR's Chicago Bureau. Good to have you with us, Peter.
Always a pleasure to be here, Lynn.
You know, after Kerry said that, his wife turned to him and said, well, there goes the bald vote. What do you think about that, Peter?
Well, you know, excuse me, we bald Americans, as we like to define our group, really, of course, have nowhere to go. We're one of those groups in American politics who simply don't have a chance of seeing ourselves represented in the highest nation's offices just because of the level of bias and prejudice that there exists in the American body politic. So, you know, basically, we've got a choice. Which of the haired candidates facing us in every election can best represent the interests of bald men?
And in this particular election, who would that be?
Well, it's hard to say. I haven't really heard any of the candidates express their opinions on the issues facing bald men. Frankly, nor have anybody heard expressing what those interests might be. As far as I can tell, the primary interest of we bald men politically is some force program requiring all other men to lose some or part of their hair to equal the playing field, as it would be. And I haven't heard any candidate talk about
that
yet.
Well, would you say that Dick Cheney might be the bald man's candidate, since he himself shares this, I don't know, is it a, what is it exactly? How would I describe it? A disability?
I like to think of it as an aerodynamic advantage myself, particularly in, you know, those high-speed chases that presidential candidates do. I'm not sure about Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, of course, is the first bald president and or vice president since the advent of the television age. And we should be, we bald Americans, should be excited about this. I mean, we have a place at the table. We have quite a big place at the table. In fact, depending on what you believe about Vice President Cheney, we have the whole table. But I'm just a little uncertain about how he became vice president. And I don't mean the election of 2000. I mean the fact that he picked himself. For some reason, we don't talk about this, but this is actually one of the most amazing things that happened in 2000. Then-candidate Governor Bush went to Dick Cheney, said, could you please head my vice presidential search
committee? That's right.
And he picked himself. And for some reason at that time, America thought, well, that's fine, you know. And the fact, I mean, it proves that the only way a bald guy could, in fact, get this high office would be if a bald guy picked him. And since there wasn't any bald guy, it had to be in office yet, it had to be the bald guy himself, if you follow along.
I'm following you completely.
It's a bootstrap kind of thing.
But wait a second, what about Ike? Wasn't Eisenhower bald?
Eisenhower was the exception, and I think that's for two reasons. First of all, of course, he went into office at the advent of the television age. I'm sure if there were polling to this effect in 1952, I'm sure most people were probably not cognizant of the level of his hairline. Actually, three issues. Second, he often wore caps. And third, of course, he had successfully invaded Europe and saved the free world. So I think that in order to get elected as a bald person to the presidency, you have to save the free world first. And even then, I'm not sure. It depends on how you keep the rest of your hair.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got some callers coming in for you now. Let me see if we can get Scott on the line. He's in Half Moon Bay, California. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I spoke to your screener. I said I just had three words, and that was Jean-Luc Picard. It's the character of the man that we vote for, so that if he ran, I think half the women in America would vote for him. Just something to think about.
All right, well, think about that, Scott. What do you think about that, Peter?
Well, it is true, and I am someone who's a great fan of Patrick Stewart in general in all of his roles, except for one of the great things about Patrick Stewart is on the rare occasion that he plays a villain, he often wears a toupee, which I think is a tremendous blow for we bald guys, because usually you can tell the villain, in the prior model, you could tell a villain in films by their hair. If they were bald or had creepy hair, chances are You know, the whole Ernst Stavro Blofeld thing, right? Shaved head. What does that tell you? Wants to dominate the world.
But wait, let's look at this from another perspective now, because we've been talking about the whole bald head thing. But, you know, there's a lot of suspicion. People are not always completely have a lot of trust in this kind of tousled hair look that a lot of politicians try and get.
You mean this sort of this distrust of their I don't know. I think
that they're too pretty. You know, I mean, if you've got good hair, if you've got this sort of good blow dried look, you know, can you really be a serious person?
Let's consider what the people who are making those criticisms look like. Okay. You know, I think it's like, you know, it's just a fact of life. Americans like a full, nice, bouncy head of hair, and you can gripe about it, but it's just true. If it's not true, then why isn't, you know, Representative Henry Waxman a candidate for the president? Have you ever seen a picture of Representative Henry Waxman, an otherwise fine, upstanding member of Congress? He looks like an accountant.
He's got a mustache, though.
He's got a little mustache.
A good
which,
one.
Henry,
He's got
if
a
you're
good
listening,
mustache, so.
It doesn't help. It just looks like the hairline has migrated a bit and on its way to falling off your face and is just grabbing onto the nose for dear life. It's not a good idea, Henry, if you're listening. It's true. There's nothing you can do about it. And I think that we need to just face this bias if we're going to make any progress.
All right.
And educate people.
Let's see if we can get another call in here from Judy. She's calling from Burton, Ohio. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think the bald folks are taking this too personally, that it's not really about lack of hair, it's about bad hair. I mean, baldness can be very attractive. Look at Jesse Ventura. He went a long way politically on baldness, even though by the time he left office, he was not especially popular, even with those who had voted for him.
You know, I've made this confusion as well, and so I think we need to confront this issue. In regards to Jesse Ventura, as well as many of the other people we've talked about, Patrick Stewart is an exception, we're not talking about bald in the sense of male pattern baldness, the fringe around the sides and back, but we're talking about shaved heads. And I think that there's a distinction between shaved heads and male pattern baldness, which is why a lot of the guys with male pattern baldness shave their heads. So you can pretend it's a matter of choice. Mr. Michael Jordan, are you listening? And I think, Jesse Ventura, you're right. He was elected to the governorship of Minnesota, and in my view, the baldness was perhaps one of his few attributes. But I'm waiting for the guy with the full-on fringe, you know, the full-on, if you let it grow too much, you look just like Larry from the Three Stooges, bald Larry David look. I'm waiting for a man like that to stand up and claim a high office. And when that happens, then we will know that, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
You're waiting for Larry David to stand up and
well,
run for president?
Well, he's the only person that
Peter,
I can think of.
I don't know.
You know, hair like that. Give, Henry, you know, but he's got the hair.
You've got to consider personality along with this hair thing, I think, sometimes.
No, not really. I mean, nobody ever has. I mean, you know, so why should I be the first to start? I feel that I'm just reflecting the hair obsession that I see. That, you know,
what about the hair of the candidates' wives? Does that play into this at all, or is
oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Remember Marilyn Quayle? Now, of course, with women, I think this issue of hairstyles does become more significant because baldness is not an option. So we express our shallowness about hair through their hairstyles. Remember all the teasing that Marilyn Quayle got about her hair, for example? I think that hurt that ticket ultimately.
And what about the candidates' wives this year?
The candidates' wives this year, I think, are actually fine-looking women, I have to say, and pleasantly normal-looking women. I think that one of the nice things that's going on is I think that in a small sign of our growing emotional maturity as a nation, the issue of the hairstyle of the candidates' wives will not play a role in this election. I'm proud to be able to say that.
All right. And let me remind everyone that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. All right, Peter, I'm sorry to tell you that I think that we have caught you in an error here. We've got an email from Jason in Buffalo, New York, and he says, Gerald Ford was bald and he was both vice president and president.
Oh, but the response is so easy. Why? I mean, Gerald Ford was not elected. He was not elected to the office of vice president, nor was he elected to the office of president. We know this. He was selected by President Nixon to replace the fully haired yet felonious Spiro Agnew. And then, of course, became president when Nixon resigned. So I think this is, excuse me, Jason, the exception that proves the rule, because there is no way in the world that Gerald Ford, a fine man in all regards, would have been elevated to the presidency if the people had anything to do with it.
All right, now,
because of his hair.
And Peter, I don't know if you're going to take offense at this next one or not. This is from Teresa. She says, the god or goddess made very few perfect heads. The rest are covered with hair.
Well, you know, I've heard that before. I've heard them all before, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, how about one of my favorites is, I'm not losing hair, I'm gaining face. And you know what? I have yet to meet a bald guy who, if a fairy appeared, and by fairy, of course, I mean a magical creature, if a magical creature appeared and said, come on, I'll give you a head of hair, would you take it? No costs, no downside. Would they take it? And the answer was yes. I don't think anybody would turn it down. I don't think anybody would choose to be bald. I could be wrong, but I've yet to meet that person.
All right, we're going to take a call now from Shay. Hi, Shay. You're on Talk of the Nation. Shay is not ready yet. are you there, Shay?
Yes.
Hi, Shay. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Shay.
Hi. I was just... I'm here.
Shay, have you got your radio on? I think you need to turn your radio off.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you there, Shay?
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what I was thinking about was the link I've read between... baldness, testosterone.
Oh, yes.
Testosterone.
All right. I think we're having some phone problems with Shay, but I think Peter already has a thought on that subject.
Well, I've heard of that as well, because there is a theory that the same hormonal situation that causes male pattern baldness is excess of testosterone, which explains, among other things, Vin Diesel. But again, I mean... I'm not sure. I think that a lot of these theories have been devised out of wishful thinking, you know, and there are a lot of other situations in which people who are short or overweight, who have other flaws as they perceive it against the national standard of beauty, come up with these ways. You know, there's more of me to love, people say. And the rest of America goes, yep. You know what I mean? So when we bald guys say, oh, yeah, we have extra testosterone that makes us more virile, the rest of America goes, yep.
So what do you think? Is what's the barbershop vote going to be this year, do you think, Peter? And is it going to be important in this year's election?
I think it is. I mean, considering the criteria that people use to either vote or not vote for the people who they care to vote for, I honestly believe that there are some people, I don't know if enough to be to sway the election, who will in fact vote for John Kerry and John Edwards because they have better hair. Here in Illinois, we have a case in point. As you may know, we recently lost a Republican candidate for Senate, Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan had many attributes that made the Republicans very excited about him. One of them, of course, was his fortune. He could self-finance his campaign, his resume, his positions. But man, he had a great head of hair. It was incredible. Let me put it this way. If for some reason Jack Ryan had been elected and could not fulfill the duties of his office, the hair could have stood in for him. It was that firm, that wonderful. And I think that hair would have gotten him points in the upcoming election. And right now the Republicans of Illinois are looking for somebody else out there with equivalent hair.
All right. Well, you know, Peter, there's one thing that I have learned for certain during this conversation, and that is you don't have to have a head of hair to be a public radio host.
Isn't it a wonderful thing?
Don't we just love radio?
This is why you will not be seeing me on television anytime soon.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us today, Peter.
Oh, Lynn, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Peter Sagal is the host of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He joined us from NPR's Chicago Bureau. And we want to close this hour with a song. I have to tell you, I have not heard it, but my editor and director have demanded that we play it. So without further ado, here are the Four Bitchin' Babes with a tune written by Christine Lavin.
No matter how you fight it, time marches on. Some new things appear, some old things are gone. Let them go, it's a natural thing. Like a leaf off a tree, like a bird on a wing. Try looking in your mirror from a whole different place. You're not losing hair, you're gaining face. Be confident, be cool, it won't be long when you are proud to be one of the bald-headed men. She said it before. I love bald-headed men.
I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.